Well, good morning. God bless each one that's here. And that verse that Brother John brought out, it just confirmed what I wanted to share a little bit. Those that diligently seek the Lord. What I want to do this morning is just a challenge to me and a challenge to each one of you. Is to how is our prayer life? That's what I'd like to, the burden that I'd like to share this morning is how serious are we with having a relationship with Christ Jesus? As I was searching the Bible and reading through it and different things, it seems very obvious that is one thing that is very much connected to the Christian walk is prayer. As you go through from Genesis on down through all through the ages through history, prayer is mentioned over and over and over again. People wanted to make prayer, or they were want to pray, and that was their communication lines. I don't know if I have a title or anything, but maybe it's just a challenge to have our walk with God closer or something like that, a prayer walk. How is it? I think maybe we could just bow our heads and pray if we're going to speak about prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come to you and just thank you again for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercies this morning and letting us rise and gather together like this, Lord. And I especially just pray for Albert and Carol and Hannah today as they go through this time of laying Grandpa Kenny at rest and back to the earth, Lord. And we just pray you comfort their hearts and guide them and be with all the other brothers and sisters from here that are there for their sakes, Lord, and help them to have a good day. We especially pray that you give them traveling safeties as they travel home this afternoon and evening and watch over them. Father, we do pray for this little gathering here. We ask that your Spirit can come and minister to each one of our hearts in your special way, Lord. We especially pray and thank you, Lord. As we're talking to you, we thank you that you have made it possible that we can connect with you and communicate with you through prayer. Father, we know that you hear us, and we just pray that we can take this thing and just take it and go deeper, Lord, and that we can grip the realization, the power of prayer. So, Father, we just pray that your presence can be here with us and just lead and guide us. And watch over my thoughts and my tongue. Help me just to say the things that be an encouragement to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. The text will probably be taken out of Matthew 6, verses 3 through 7. I don't know if some of you brothers do this too, but I had taken a bunch of notes when I'm not even sure which year it was when we were in that. When it was a Burn Leadership Seminar out there, Leonard Gunther had this message, "When Thou Prayest." I don't know if any of you remember that, but some of the notes I took down, I'm going to use some of those, but then I'll just continue going on from my own different things that I thought the Lord had given me. Let's read this scripture here first, Matthew 6. And I think I'm just going to, let's start in verse 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, and Jesus goes on and he says, Therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm just going to read on down to verse 18. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I was thinking probably maybe the reason I read the thing about fasting too is I don't want to put anybody on the spot or anything, but I was just curious. You can just think about this, is when was the last time that I seriously fasted and prayed about something? Has it been a year ago? Has it been 2 years? Has it been three? Has it been four? Maybe it was just last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. When was it? It was just when I thought about that, it was just a deep challenge to me, is when was the last time that I really sought the Lord, you know? And I believe as Christians, each one of us should have a testimony of some time in our life when we really sought the Lord. We were really seeking the face of God for direction or life, and God came through and made it very plain. As Christians, I think each one of us should have that testimony. I'm just going to, being we're talking about fasting and praying, it says, what is it to you, fasting and praying? The definition says, go without food, eat little or no thing. Then it goes on and says, go without certain kinds of food, maybe a day or time of fasting. It didn't really give exactly how many, you know, whatever the amount of time, but it was just, that was the definition for fasting, is go without food, eat little or nothing. And then pray says, speak to God in worship. Enter into spiritual communion with God. Offer worship. Make earnest request to God. Ask earnestly. Pray God for help. Those are definitions for praying. And then prayerfully is having the habit of praying often. That goes right together with that. But I was just thinking about all that and praying, talking to God. And what Leonard Gunther out in Indiana there, he spoke on this a little bit. When thou prayest, how do we pray? And I think it was that he was referring to our lifeline from heaven or something like that. That's where our lifeline comes from heaven, is through prayer. And, you know, I had to think of different things already. I think he talked about something about a big pipeline coming down out of Canada into the United States with all the oil coming down through there. He was referring it to the size. How big of a stream do we want to come from God into our lives? But then, you know, in this day and age, in this technology, then for some reason, I don't know why, my mind went to fiber optic line that they're coming out with. You know, I guess it was probably because we put it in their store now. And I helped the guys run it through the attic, and it is just a little thin wire. And he said there's like a glass inside that if you kink it too hard, it ruins it, and then they have to run another line. But I was thinking about that. Leonard was saying that the bigger the pipe, the more flows. But in this world system, the smaller, the faster it is, you know. But I was just had to think about that, you know. I don't want to put down his explanation and everything, but he was saying that our prayer life can be like coming down out of that pipe from God. It can be just a little trickle. Depends on how we live our lives. That flowing can just be a little trickle or even just a couple drops. But depends how much we are praying and fasting and our relationship with the Lord. It opens it up, you know, and it flows more and more. And Jesus said, out of my belly shall flow rivers of water, living water. And so what do we want? Do we want rivers or do we want little trickles? That's each one of our choice, you know, which one do we want? Are you in an environment that you can survive without a supply line? That was a question that he brought out to us. Are you in an environment that you can survive without a supply line? And he says, a cord that runs within the veil up into the temple of God, to the throne of God, that supplies you. Do you believe these verses? These are just some of the notes I wrote down. You should live them. Take your worries into your little room and plug into your supply so God can work in your life. Unbelief and lack of faith will keep us from experiencing the fullness of God. Unbelief and lack of faith will keep us from experiencing the fullness of God. Is that not how often it comes in our lives, in our everyday lives like today? And how much faith do I have in God? I believe the more faith I have in God, the more I'll be talking to Him and praying to Him, won't I? Just with the everyday things that I face or whatever. Do we want the fullness of it all? If we don't, we can live in unbelief and lack of faith. But if we want it, it's there. If we want it, we can get it. But we need to have faith. Here's one thing that Brother John shared, you should be on the edge of your seat watching her, taking notes and everything. That's good, but Leonard he mentioned preachers can never do for us what God can. What God can. Preachers can never do for us what God can. Let that settle into your hearts. You know, we're just men, brothers. We're called to come up here and share the word and everything, but it's each one of our individual responsibility to have that fullness of God in our lives. And the only way that we can have that is if we have that connection with Him. And it's flowing either way. Like we're praying to God and God is blessing us with our answers or things we're asked for that are good for us. Scared to take the plunge? If we don't see the other end, our supplies need to come from God. And then he went on, he said this, the sins that are committed in secret will be brought out in open, Matthew 7:7. We cannot lie. God will not give us evil when we ask good. Maybe there is something that says needs to, these are just notes I had here, come out first before he can give. And I'm going to turn to Matthew 7:7. Just touch, see what that says there. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Of what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. But what I was thinking about, as Nunner brought that out too, is when we come to God and ask him for something, Jesus actually gave this teaching of, put it, the parable of our earthly fathers. You know, if Zachary or Marcus come to me and they say, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have a piece of bread? Do you think I'd go out on the driveway and pick up some stones and say, here you go, son. Eat them. And God referred this to as we are humans. We're not God. God is so much higher than us, so much pure, without sin. And our human nature is evil. He says, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a snake? It says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? But I think there's a preparation in the heart that needs to take place, and that we need to come with a humble and a contrite spirit. God, those are the ones that God hears. And we cannot lie to God. I cannot lie to God. If I come to him and want something and pray and fast, and maybe there's something in my heart that needs to come out. If I just don't let it come out, God doesn't want to let it come in. You know, he likes to have clean vessels. And go on there. Worry is a faith killer. Casting your care on him, Jesus doesn't care how often you ask him, but put him in front of your problem, then you can rest. There's some scriptures and psalms I'm going to turn to, different places in psalms. It says Psalms 10, 4 through 7. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight, for all his enemies he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be an adversary. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places does he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den, and lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doeth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He crouches and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He that he has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hideth his faith. He will never see it. That is the wicked. Through the pride of his countenance, he will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Where are we this morning? Where am I this morning? Do I seek after God? Is my heart clean? Am I free to serve him? Psalms 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Now this is the opposite. The meek are seeking the Lord. We shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalms 27, verse 4 and 11, 4 through 11. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This was Earlier I had said something about our cord going up into the veil. I think this is what Brother Leonard was bringing out, was are we connected to that? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Do we take time to come in our closet to inquire of the Lord? Do we take that time to inquire of Him? For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. There's that sacrifices again. I will sing ye, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. That was the cry of David, you know, and it can be the cry of our hearts too today. If we're facing tribulations or whatever we're facing, we can look to the Lord and inquire in the house of the Lord. Ask Him. God wants us to be asking Him for direction, for whatever we're facing, whatever you see, you know. He wants us to inquire of Him and to ask for His help. And then He can lift us up. He can lift up our heads and we can offer the sacrifices of praise. And Proverbs 28:5-9 says, but evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways till he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is companion of righteous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Those are some pretty heavy words, some of the things, you know. And we just, a lot of times, I read through, you know, Psalms, Proverbs, and you just read a chapter, you read a couple of verses, and it just kind of bypasses you. But if we just take time to inquire of the Lord, He can show us, you know. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Can you just imagine that a little bit? Do you want your prayer to be an abomination to the Lord? It says, if you turn your ear away from hearing the law, it will be an abomination. God won't hear you. Those things are serious, and that's just a couple of those verses that I want to draw our attention to, is where are we really with the Lord? I'm speaking to myself. We get up in the morning. We wake up. It's another day. We have a lot of things to, our minds churning with all the things we want to get done today. But we take time, we read a little bit, we pray. But do we really connect? Or do we just, is it more of a habit? And the reason I was thinking about this is fasting and praying. There have been times when different things have come up, maybe not in like in this church here, but in Ohio, when we face difficulties and decisions in the brotherhood and stuff, and different things came up there, that we would just bind our hearts together as a brotherhood and set a day aside during the week that we just set aside, and we purposely try to fast, go without food, and purposely as we're going about the day that we think about the situation, we pray to God and call out to Him for vision or wisdom and direction and just different things like that. And God came through clearly and answered those desires and gave direction and helped. And I was just thinking about that. Then my mind went to the disciples when Jesus called them out, or He called them together and He sent them out two by two. And let's just go there. I looked that up and I just thought it'd be bring it into this in this setting here. Just in our everyday thing, you know. If I can find it now. Yeah, it's in Matthew 17. That's probably in some of the other books too, Mark, Luke, John. But Matthew 17, it was where a demonic boy healed. And anyway, Jesus had gone aside to pray, or He wasn't right there with him. And when they were, in verse 14, it says, when they were come to the multitude, I guess Jesus was away, He was coming back. There came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? You know, they were doing it before. God had given them power to go out and do that. Now that all of a sudden they can't. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And can you imagine just Jesus here with his disciples, and, you know, they're looking up to him and he's teaching them and guiding them. And now he has to tell them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And that's what I want to bring out, is how serious are we about praying and fasting for something? You know, Jesus, even Jesus, as he was here, he openly rebuked his disciples because they could not cast out this demon. And Jesus told them it's because of your unbelief. And he also said it's because you need to pray and fast about it. And I was thinking about this just in the prayer and fasting. Can we, let's not underestimate the power of God moving in His Spirit if the church binds together and prays and fasts. And I was thinking just in some of the thoughts that when I think about this is where we're living in today. You know, we don't know, or I don't know. I don't keep up with the news, but is it Trump? Is it Joe Biden? But people come into the store and they make remarks here and there that I can kind of sense, you know, maybe the direction it's going or whatever, just by hearing other people talk, the public and stuff. But, the other day somebody came into the store and I've noticed a little bit on the increase. They're looking more at the 50-pound bags of flour and stuff. Before it was just the smaller bags, but it seems the shift is changing. And one of them said, well, Joe Biden's going to shut everything down again. He's just going to shut everything down, so we want to stock up. And I was like, you know, Fear is driving these people again. They're afraid. They're scared. But you know, the thing of it is, that food will eventually be all gone too. I mean, it won't last forever. It's not like the manna from heaven that the children of Israel experienced out in the wilderness for 40 years. But it's just the mindset. Where am I? Am I trusting in God? Do I have that peace? And if I don't, let's fast and pray about it until God gives it to us. Just in living in these times, I don't want to scare young people or us older ones, but I believe it's more important now than it ever was before that we really, really, really take this seriously and look at it again. Praying and fasting. I was thinking about the disciples, you know, as they went out and healed the sick and cast out demons, and they were doing their thing and they were excited. We would be too today, wouldn't we? If we'd send out, you know, two by two, go out into the community and they'd come back and say what miracles the Lord is doing. He's healing the sick and the lame can walk again and whatever. I seriously think the disciples were feeling kind of good about themselves when they came back. And this is great, you know. These things are good. And then they faced this demonic boy and they couldn't cast him out. And those things happen, they don't just happen by accident. I believe God had a plan for this, that he purposely maybe didn't let it happen just so that he can teach his disciples another lesson, you know. And I was thinking about us as a church. Is everything going good? Are we going down this life, you know? And we just, 1 week follows another. We come to church, we preach, we share, we get together Tuesday morning, we have prayer meeting, we have Wednesday night, we get together. Is it too much getting just into a routine? Or are we feeling relaxed a little bit, comfortable? And, you know, it's just some of the cry of my heart is that let's be careful. Let's not forget that. I mean, there is a time. I'm not saying that. I don't want to put everybody on a guilt trip that we, as we go from here, we're going to just really, this next week, we're just really going to start saying no to different things so we can spend time praying and just seeking the Lord. That's good. But I think, you know, we still have to do our everyday things. But let's think about our lives. Are there little spaces during the day that we could maybe cut something out, that we could maybe slide in a little time of prayer or something like that instead of, be it what it may. Each one of us can think about that. And I'm sure there are some areas in of our life that we all like to do things. We all like to, you know, different interests and different things. And that's not wrong. But think about it. Is it important? Or does it have eternal prospects? Or could I say 10 minutes here that I'm doing this? Could I just kind of let that aside a little bit and spend time praying for that little time? I put that challenge out to each one of us. Let's try that once and see what God does. Because I believe, and if we do that with a sincere heart, God can move in the community and the church and just in our, and more souls can be won to Christ. Wouldn't that be exciting? You know, that's what we're here for, not? It's to share the gospel and to bring more people into the kingdom. I'm just going to go through Acts a little bit. I don't want to take too much time, but as I lay this out, you can think about it when Brother John opens it for testimony. Maybe there's something that you remember. Just, it doesn't have to be a long testimony, but maybe just in short, something that you faced in the past sometime where you really fasted and prayed about it and God miraculously answered it. Think about that, and then maybe you can share a little bit afterwards. In Acts, you know, they prayed when they laid hands on people or ordained them. I had to think of, I'm not going to turn to all the verses and everything, but I was just writing things down here. Cornelius, first of all, they're in I might have got a little turned around a little bit. Let's see here. Well, the day of Pentecost, that was the first thing. You know, Jesus was crucified. He was put in the grave. He rose up. He appeared to the disciples and the people. And then he went to heaven, and they went back to Jerusalem into the upper room there, and they were praying there, just spending time together praying. And then the day of Pentecost, you know, God poured out his Holy Spirit upon them. And that was connected with prayer. You see, that was before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were still praying. And even back in the Old Testament, you know, Hannah prayed for a child. And down through the ages, you know, different people prayed. Daniel prayed. What did he end up with? He ended up being thrown in the lion's den because he prayed. The three Hebrew boys, you know, they were thrown into the furnace because they didn't bow down to the image of this Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. And just on and on, that we see testimonies that people, that prayer was connected to their life, that they stood for Jesus or stood for God, and God, just like the fiery furnace, that's a miracle that nobody should ever forget. Fire is hot, and the king was raging mad, and he fired that thing seven times hotter, that the men that threw him in died because of the heat as they came up close to it. But they stood up in the midst, and Jesus walked with them. Those things should excite us. That our God is a God of the living and not of the dead. And he always will be. Anyway, Cornelius, it says he was a man of prayer, and he was praying. He was seeking direction. And then an angel appeared unto him in a vision and told him to go to find Peter and bring him, you know, and so Peter can explain to him the way of salvation more plainly. And Peter was up on the housetop praying, and he seen this vision, you know. And then these people came to ask him to come, and it all made sense all of a sudden. You know, this is why I seen this vision. And then the church was praying for Peter when he was in prison. It says they were praying all night, the church. And God came down and miraculously said, "Peter, wake up, come." Out through the guards, you know, and they were heavy asleep, you know. Not just one guard, there was a bunch. And then they come to the iron gate, and it says it opened up of its own accord, and he walked out. And he came to where the church was gathered, knocked on the door, you know, and we see the unbelief of this damsel Rhoda, you know. She comes to the door, and then she shuts it and went back in and tells him, "Peter's here, and, you know, why not just open the door and come on in, you know?" It's just different things, unbelief. And then we just go on down through Acts, and Paul and them, I went to this one place, and it says prayer was wont to be made down by the river. They went out of the city down by the river, purposely a place for prayer. And Lydia was converted in her household. And then Paul and Silas were put in prison. And at midnight, they prayed and sang. And there was a mighty earthquake. You know, those things, if the people wouldn't have prayed, you know, do you think God would have moved in miraculous ways like that? That's what I'm trying to say, is God wants that. He wants that connection with us, that he's living, he's vibrant, and he can do anything. He's not confined to a box or certain things. God can do, his Holy Spirit can do many mighty things. And like Paul and Silas, you know, it was Just another example. They were caught, they were beaten, they were put in prison. They laid stripes on him. Tribulations, what we heard this morning. Brother Jason was sharing. Paul and Silas, they had all the right. Can you imagine going through that? Just because you healed somebody, or delivered somebody, then the people got mad at you. They say, okay, you two guys, come here. And they took a whip and just lashed them, you know, and then they put them into the innermost prison and put their feet in stocks. You think they had the full right to be discouraged? I mean, that was painful and bleeding probably. And then to sit there, I'm sure it wasn't a nice easy chair or recliner. But it says that they prayed and sang praises to God. And then the prison was shaken with a mighty earthquake. And what came out of that trial? Salvation came to that jailer's house. Praise the Lord. So is it not? I just wanted to encourage us. You know, sometimes we might be facing hard things and going through tribulations. Take courage. Let's trust in the Lord. Salvation is taking something that is ruined and making it beautiful. This jailer's house and all his household, he came to him and said, what must I do? And, you know, Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus and be baptized. And his whole household was saved that night. Just because of the testimony. And, oh, that was just back in Acts, you know. That doesn't happen today, does it? It should be as real then as it was. It should be as real now as it was then. Because it was after Christ came, died on the cross. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they went out preaching and doing things and suffering for the name of Christ. Christ was beaten too before he went on the cross. And so Paul and Silas, it was just a normal thing to be expected. Okay, now we go back to the Old Testament a little bit. Hannah prayed for Samuel. God heard it and gave her the request of her heart. But was it just like, okay, I'm without a child. I start praying, give me a child, Lord. And the Lord just, boom, answered it. No, it says year after year she went up there and she cried unto the Lord. And she called unto God. And then the Lord answered it. Zacharias prayed for a child and got him John the Baptist, you know. And Joseph and Mary, I had to just think about that. He had a relationship with God. When Jesus was born, God directed him so Herod couldn't kill him. You know, he told him, first of all, Joseph was like, Mary's with child, you know, oh, what was she doing and whatever, you know. But God told him, don't fear, that what she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. And so he went forth and he took Mary to be his wife. And then when Jesus was born, God told him, flee with the young child because they seek to kill him. That connection was there. That's the beautiful picture I want to bring out. We can have that today. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And I already touched on that and was cast into the den of lions. That's the reward they got for praying, just simply for praying. The 3 Hebrews would not bow down to that golden idol because they prayed to a living God. They got the fiery furnace, but you know, just it seems every time that there's a time of like we can't bear it almost, or thinking about that, throwing into a fiery furnace, out of that what? The king changed his degree. You know, now he's like, anybody that doesn't pray to the God of the 3 Hebrew children will be punished. Before it was the other way. It's just, you know, the exciting things that God can do. And I just wanted to share it to myself. How serious am I with God, fasting and praying? When was the last time that I did that? Just a challenge to each one of us. And And just a little bit of I told you all to think about a testimony or something, so I feel I should share one little bit. Is back some, what, 21 years ago or so, when we were, I might have shared it before already, but just it's something that we don't forget if God comes through in a miraculous way. And I'll say it, and you can think what you want, but I felt it was the Lord leading us. We were seeking direction as far as a church and everything, and tried to listen to different advices and different things, but then we really got desperate, and we were asking God for, this was a Saturday morning, and we asked God to give us direction so we could go to church somewhere. We purposely asked Him, can you please have somebody call, invite us or something so we know where to go. That's how desperate we were. I mean, you could just go wherever you want to, but we felt we wanted to hear from God. And it wasn't but 15 minutes later, the phone rang, and here a brother called us, and he said they're having special meetings this weekend. Was it that, or was it just coming to church? Yes, special meetings. And he just shared that it was Brother Dan. He knew a little bit about it. We had shared with him before, prior, but he said that morning, he just felt the Lord put it on his heart to call us and to see where we're at. And I told him, well, we'll think about it. And, or did I? Did I just tell him we're coming? Or they can pick us up? Think about it, but as far as we know, you know, it sounded, I told them we were praying about it, and you called, and you're the first, it was like 15 minutes later. But anyway, then that was a nice sunny day, and soon after that, the phone died. Don't ask me why, but nobody could get a hold of us all during the rest of the Saturday. And Sunday morning, it was on again. Was it Sunday morning? I think it was. Because there was a dial tone again and everything. But that Dan was on his way already to pick us up, you know. And so we went. That was just one little glimpse, you know. Some people might look at it, or you might even think about, oh, that was just a happening or something. But we were desperate that time. And I think that's... if the Lord sees that we're desperate, we really want direction, He's going to answer. So, Lord bless you all.